Bear Down Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer back at it again. And listen, we got day two of mandatory mini camp to react to, hearing a lot of good things out of mini camp. There's excitement continuing every day around this team. Got to hear from some of the pieces on offense and, of course, Jalen Johnson on the defensive side as well today as Matt Eberflus. So some clarification on some things that happened in minicamp. But, man, some really good things to hear from this team. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave that five-star review. Y'all know what to do. Let's start this off. Drop a bear down in the comments right now if you're rocking with this team right now, man. Some people who were missing from today's practice. Braxton Jones was out. Cole Kmet was out. Tyler Scott was out. Matt Eberflus clarified this after, though. Holding players out basically due to the precautionary stuff. At this point in the season, anything that pops up, there is going to be no kind of let's test it, let's fight through it, let's work through it. They're getting these guys on tables right away. So all three players, I mean, when you hear at least Braxton and Cole, I shouldn't say all three. Braxton and Cole were the two that he pointed out specifically. I think when you hear that, you know, they're getting work done, it's fine. We saw them out there yesterday. They both looked good. Maybe came up with something small, but just wanted to get that out of the way there. Nothing to worry about out of minicamp so far. Realistically speaking, all the storylines that we could have had or we thought we may have heading into minicamp have really died down. Nate Davis was even getting in there a little bit today. Split time. On the offensive line today, actually able to get some work in there, which is good to hear. Good to see that he was, you know, it seems like he was a little bit limited. Per Courtney Cronin, he was splitting reps with Ryan Bates at the right guard position during the team period today, but good to hear that he's out there and being active. That was one thing that I was looking forward to seeing. I cut Nate Davis all the slack in the world last season, went through a very difficult situation and came out on the other side of that and probably is still dealing with some of the effects of that. But this is a season where we do need to see you get on the field and start to go out there and be the dominant player that I believe that you can be. And you know, listen, there's a human element to this. These are not robots that you have on the field. They're human beings that you have on the field. But there is a certain point where you do have to do your job. And so hearing that Nate Davis was out there, love to hear that, understanding that maybe there's something limited. Maybe there's something going on. Maybe he tweaked something, although with how they've kind of dealt with this, I doubt that's the case because literally anytime anybody has like a, you know, I think I feel something here, it's literally like, go sit down over there. But you never know. Somebody else who was in a ramp-up period, Montez Sweat getting himself going, got a couple reps per Courtney Cronin again. Said maybe 2 to 4 during team periods today. So good to hear that everybody's getting involved. Everybody's working their way back. And they're not rushing any of this. This is you're in a situation now where you don't have to rush anything. You can go out there and take your time with the players that you have because there is depth on this team. There is pieces on this team that I think that, you know, you can see the backup step in and do a good job. Now, Montez Sweat on that defensive line may be a little different, but we heard from Tez yesterday and he talked about kind of his how he's going through his off seasons and how he knows how to work his body. He knows how to prepare himself for the season. I'll say this about him. When you see the production that he had last season, it's hard to argue with. And that's the big thing about all of this, right? At the end of the day, I don't care what you do in the offseason. I don't care how much you practice. I don't care if you know you're on the field or if you're on the practice field 5 days a week, if you're on the practice field 1 day a week. If on Sundays, when Sundays get here, you are a player that can go out there and absolutely put on a show. So during this point, right, during training camp, maybe a little bit different, but during this point, I just like if you're able to go out there and ball out, go out there and ball out. And if you don't need practice, shout out to you for not needing practice. But I don't think that that's the case with a lot of the players that we have here. Tez, in this point, I'm fine with this. I won't even be concerned about anything unless it gets to a training camp scenario at this point with all of these guys because of how the Bears really go about putting guys in positions to be on that field, right? If you feel anything, you go sit down over there. We don't want to risk you dealing with injury. It's a very different world out there. So that's kind of the injury news for today. Everybody seemed to be out there outside of those names. Caleb Williams and the offense, again, continuing to improve, which is what you want to hear. I mean, had a better day during 7-on-7. Did throw an interception to Tremaine Edmonds, but was able to bounce back. Throws a big pass down the sideline to Velus Jones in the 7-on-7 right after that. The caveat on this, most of the starting secondary was off of the field, but I want to focus on what this Bears team has done all OTAs, all mini camp, anytime that we've had a competition period. And this is the team. This is not a specific player. This is not a specific side of the ball. The team has done this. And I think that this is very important heading into the season. And I love that we're seeing it now. The bounce back of this Bears team is different. How this Bears team goes about, okay, yo, we took our lumps in this moment. We got to figure some things out. We got to get on the other side of this and go out there and actually get ourselves back together. They find a way to get themselves back together, get back on the field and produce. I love to see that. And I think you hear it here with Caleb Williams going through 7-on-7, throws the interception. Apparently, Tremaine basically just went up and got it. The one thing that Matt Eberflus did say during the press conference is that it was very similar to yesterday when he threw the interception to Kevin Byard. He's going through his progression, gets to it a little bit late, and boom, throws the football, intercepted, goes the other way. Now, you're talking about, okay, Caleb, you had the same issue yesterday. How are you going to bounce back from that? I'm going to go out there and I'm going to throw a touchdown down the sideline and get it into the hands of Velus Jones, and we're going to put some points on the board. That's what it takes to be great in the NFL. That's what it takes. It's not about, you know, I never want to make mistakes, or I'm going to fight so that I am the perfect quarterback and there's never an interception on my resume. The great quarterbacks aren't the quarterbacks that don't make mistakes. That does help, though. I would love to see as few mistakes as possible. But the great quarterbacks are the quarterbacks that can sit there and say, dang it, I just made a mistake. Maybe you're able to overcome, or maybe you're able to keep the ball in a mistake possession. Maybe you're not. But either way, I just made a mistake. All right, how do you bounce back from that? That's the thing that makes Aaron Rodgers deadly. That's the thing that made Tom Brady deadly. That's the thing that makes Patrick Mahomes deadly is you make a mistake, bow, interception. Interceptions are going to happen. Here we go. We're going the other way. All right, now what do you do when you get back on the field? Hearing that he goes back on the field, is able to find Velus Jones down the sideline, able to get a touchdown out of that play, able and isn't afraid to attack, isn't afraid to take the deep shots, isn't afraid of, oh, I made a mistake, so I don't want to make another mistake, so I'm not going to throw the football again. That is the worst thing in the world that you can see your young quarterback do. And so the fact that we're hearing already that Caleb Williams is doing this, the fact that we're hearing already that the offense is doing this, I love that. But you also got to take into account what we saw yesterday. Yesterday, up at minicamp, Caleb Williams got the best of him early on. 7-on-7, team drills. Caleb Williams moving the ball, finding his guys. Boom, I got the full slate of weapons. I got Keenan. I got DJ. I got Cole Kmet out here. There's nothing you can do with me. We're moving the football down the field. The defense took that with a little, we've talked about the saltiness of this team. We've talked about how this defense looks to get after you. We've talked about how this defense is talking on a consistent basis. And to me, the fact that you are now hearing that, or that you see a defense that goes out there and says, okay, you got us early. Now watch how we adjust. I want to see you adjust back to it. Those are the things that make long-term teams great. Those are the things that make teams overall the best teams in the NFL. Those are the teams that, to me, make your offenses and your defensive long-term threats in a league, because oh yeah, you got us. You had your moment. Good job. Appreciate you for having that. Appreciate you for showing us where we messed up. Now let us show you how we're going to bounce back from that. That's where resiliency comes in. And resiliency is one of the most important things that you can have on a football field in any sport. Heck, in any walk of life, dang near. If you're talking about accomplishing something, if you're talking about improving something, you have to go through the lumps. You have to go through the bumps and bruises, which Caleb Williams is dealing with right now, which this defense is getting some of that right now. And you're working them out in this period so that when you get to the season, when you get into the regular season, you're not sitting here having a conversation like we had at times last year, like we had at times before last year, as you continue to go through the season and stuff like that, of, you know, why are we making the same mistake we made in week two of the season? We're in week eight. Why does this team look the same as they did in week 11, as they did in week six? How many times have we had that conversation? This is how you get that out of your system. And I love seeing that at minicamp early on. I love the fact that we're seeing kind of the Bears have to go through these ups and downs here. This feels like a team that's like, okay, yeah, you maybe got me on this side of it, but now watch how I adjust to it. And the adjustments were something that we questioned last season. I love the fact that we're seeing that in minicamp and in OTAs already. I love the fact that we're seeing it in the competitive periods. And it's got me very excited about this Chicago Bears team moving forward. Let me know your thoughts in the comments below. Let me know how you guys feel on the Chicago Bears going out there and, I mean, realistically, putting on one of the best practice periods that we've seen out of this team in a while. And I'm not just talking about like today. I'm talking about in totality, this period of like OTAs heading into minicamp, the couple of days of minicamp that we've had. I've said this a couple of times on the pod. Every time I'm out there, I'm like, these guys look like they're practicing different. They look like they're practicing quicker. They're practicing more aggressive. They look like a team that knows where they're supposed to be, especially the defensive side of the ball. The offense is growing every day towards that. But as I've been at minicamp, you've seen it a lot more. And so you do get that vibe of like, oh, these guys kind of have things figured out. So very exciting to see. Very excited to see what this Bears team is going to be able to continue to do. Apparently, the MVP, as it's being reported widely across social media, of OTAs is the man, the myth, the legend. And yes, I'm going to sit here and give you exactly what you want to all you special team enthusiasts out there, all you special team fanatics. Tory Taylor was absolutely amazing today. Had four punts downed inside the five. There's one, you heard Flus talk about it. Downed, it basically bounced at the 1 yard line and ended up getting caught in midair. There was one that was downed inside the five that basically shot left. I mean, he had an additional three punts downed inside the 10 yard line. This is what you want to hear. You draft a punter fourth overall. I can't go back and say and change how Ryan Poles addressed the special teams position. But if you do draft that guy, this is what you want to hear from practice. This is exactly the type of things that you want to see your team be able to go out there and perform on special teams. I think that he is going to be a weapon as far as pinning you down inside that 5 yard line. I'll tell you what, and you guys saw the video yesterday. If you didn't, it's on my Twitter. It's still on there. It's Tory Taylor punting. I mean, he pretty much kicks a nuke that lands. I want to say it lands at like the 4 yard line. It ends up rolling in. Nobody's catching it, of course. But I can't tell. I've listened to the video a few times. I can't tell if it's the bass from the music that you hear or if it's the ball exploding off of his foot. That's how loud his punts are. But we do hear good things about Tory Taylor today. Just how he was able to go out there and perform, how he was able to go out there and get the job done. Very excited to see how he is growing and how this special teams unit is growing as well. We talked about this a little bit yesterday with Courtney Cronin. There's a lot that this special teams unit has to learn this season. It's a very different unit this year. And so I think because of that, hearing that you have positives coming out of that room, hearing that you have a young man in Tory Taylor who seems like he's already on the path to be one of the best special teams players in the NFL, that does excite me, and I think that it does open up opportunities for your team as a whole. Listen, defensively, things are going to be a lot easier if you're going up against teams that are sitting at their own 5 or their own 10-yard line. And hearing that he was able to do that today, as much as he was able to do that, I thought that was just phenomenal. It's phenomenal to see, and I think that this is a Bears team that once again is prioritizing all three phases. Let's hope that, right, this is the thing that wakes up Velus Jones' career. I'm telling you right now, when the season starts, if you get one block, you're going to see touchdowns left and right. That's how this play happens. That's how fast this play happens. There's going to be a ton of opportunity for bounce back. I think the Bears special teams can take a real step in the right direction, and that really excites me, man. Let me know how you guys feel about Torrey Taylor, the punt god, the crocodile punter, as I have dubbed him. Let me know how you guys feel hearing that. I mean, seeing and hearing the progress that he's been able to make. I think there's been a lot of good in these few days that we've seen, and the general consensus has been the offense is learning. The offense still has some things to figure out, but that they're getting there. And hearing Jalen Johnson talk about the defense today, we heard him in the press conference breaking down kind of his thoughts on you know, kind of where the defense is at, how the defense is gelling together, what he's really been able to come into right now. I love the fact that he's not shying away, that he's got the financial security, and so now his motivation is being the best cornerback in the league. I think he has all the talent to do so. I think that, you know, the takeaways are the one thing that puts you in that category. But when you look at the PBU numbers, when you look at the, you know, I think he reads wide receiver routes the best out of anybody in the NFL. And I think that he's a catalyst piece of this defense that this defense is not the same without him out there. I think we all understand that. We saw that a little bit last season. And so coming into a season where you're getting him working, also heard from Kyler Gordon, where you're kind of getting those two gelling together, adding Tyreek Stevenson into that. And of course, Kevin Byard and Jaquan Brisker. Just again, I look at this DB unit and I ask people, you know, tell me a better DB unit. Tell me a better group of guys on the back end that you feel are better in coverage than what the Chicago Bears have right now. I'd be hard pressed to believe that you have a legitimate argument for any team in this league when it comes to the DB unit. Not to say there's not some good ones out there, but the Bears have all their bases covered, and I don't think that you can shy away from that. Let me know your thoughts on just on minicamp as a whole. Let me know kind of where you think this Bears team is at. Do you think they're 50% there, 60% there, 70% there? Let me know in the comments below, man. I'd say right now the Bears team is about 65%. Good chunk of that being the defense. Maybe I'll go a little higher than that. Let me say about 75% there. A good chunk of that being the defense. I would say about 50% of that being the defense. You're trying to get that offense caught up, and they're slowly getting there. You're hearing some good things every day, seeing some good things every day. Caleb Williams, when they talk about Caleb, everybody continues to talk about the knowledge that he has, how he's learning, how quickly he's understanding things, how quickly he's getting concepts. And so, you know, you absolutely love to hear that. Some other news that we got out of today that I think is interesting news. We got to hear from Tevin Jenkins, who is entering his final year of his contract. And I think he really had some good things to say in that press conference as well as what we've seen from him on the field. Of course, I love when he gives the insight. He's really the only one that openly says it. You know, everybody else kind of gives the, you know, we still got to go out there, we still got to compete and stuff like that. But when they talked about, I don't know who asked them, maybe it was Herb Howard, but basically saying, you know, where does this team, or how do you, is it annoying when you're going up against the defense knowing that, you know, is a little bit one-sided there? And he just says, listen, it's annoying, but it makes me better. And I love that. He's talking about basically, you know, you see the scuffle yesterday with him and D-Walk is kind of what ends up starting all of that. But, you know, you get pulling and pushing and shoving, and the O-line doesn't really have anything to push off of. They don't have anything that they can really get a hold of because they're in t-shirts and shorts with helmets on, of course. But the D-line can still do all their swim moves. They can still do bull rush. They can still do all of these things to get around the O-line. And so you got to take that into account as well when you're looking at this offense, that this is a defense that's really trying to get after you. This is a defense that's really, really trying to work on, you know, getting to that quarterback more consistently, creating pressure, creating sacks. Got to talk to Henry Melton today about, you know, some of the intrigue at that position and how this Bears team is kind of, he believes this defense is to a point where, I don't want to give it away. I want you to hear him say it, but he believes that this defense is to a point that you should be very, very competitive this season. I mean, very competitive. And it comes from the fact that you've got that pressure. You've got guys that have those traits very much like that defense that you had before. So Tevin Jenkins kind of, you know, talking about how they're still going out there. They're going, you know, 80% speed, but they're able to kind of get after you a little bit more because they don't need to grab on to anything. They're trying to get around you. So love that Tevin always speaks so candidly when he gets up on the mic. Thought it was very interesting, very candid on his contract situation as well. Said there's nothing on the table right now, that him and his team have reached out to the Bears, but they don't have anything in the works right now as far as a contract situation. So we'll see. That's going to be one of the major storylines heading into this season and going throughout this season. Are the Bears going to re-sign Tevin Jenkins? And I think he hit the nail on the head. They asked him, what is one of your goals this season? What do you want to see this season that, you know, you didn't have last season? He started off with health. Health is the number one thing. I've said this time and time again. Tevin Jenkins is the most talented offensive lineman the Chicago Bears have. Tevin Jenkins is, when healthy, the best offensive lineman the Chicago Bears have. There's no question about it. He's a guy that you can switch from left guard to right guard. You could still put him out there at right tackle if you really needed him to. He finally seems comfortable being at the guard position. He's going through the ups and downs of everything that this regime has been. He's somebody who, you know, he comes with an attitude, comes with a fire. I think that if healthy, he's probably the leader of this offensive line unit here. He's probably the guy that more people are going to try and get behind because he's the one who's going to be more vocal. He's the one who's going to say, you're not touching my quarterback. We've seen him do that how many times throughout the few years that he played with Justin. And of course, you know, anytime that you have a quarterback out there, he's one of the main guys that's going to run over and protect him. Darnell Wright follows that example very much so. And so you see a lot of that as well. Tevin Jenkins is a monster out there, but is he out there? That's what it comes down to. I would love to re-sign Tevin Jenkins, but my fear is that Tevin Jenkins is kind of going into that Kyle Long territory where I view Kyle Long fondly. I loved what Kyle Long was as a Bear. I think he's the epitome of the definition of Bear. He bleeds blue and orange. You hear him talk about his contract situation and how he talked with his father about being happy in one place versus going out and trying to get the biggest bag. I think Kyle Long was amazing, but Kyle Long wasn't on the field enough. And so Tevin Jenkins, I can think all the glowing and sunshine and rainbows things about how he's able to go out there and be effective on the field, but you got to be on the field to be able to affect things in that manner. That's the biggest question. And so I'm torn right now. And I think that Ryan Poles will probably take this into the season and kind of see where things are. For me, if I had to set a threshold on games, I mean, 17 games a long season, you're going to be hard pressed to find guys who are out there all 17 games. But if you get to 14, 15 games with Tevin Jenkins this season, and hopefully you're in the playoffs and he's able to be there healthy for that, because that's what it comes down to. I love the fact that there are teams that have guys that are healthy all season long. But if you're not there for the playoffs because your body's too beat up, doesn't really help me because, yes, you got me there to the point where we're in the playoffs, but we still got to be able to compete through the playoffs. So I'd love this to be a playoff year because then you'd be able to see a lot of things. And we know that Ryan Poles is willing to take that gamble. He did it with Jalen Johnson last season. We know that Ryan Poles is willing to look at the team on the field and say, you prove to me that you're worth the money and I'll give you the money. I think that he wants to give Tevin Jenkins the money, but I do think that you have to be concerned about the injury history that Tevin Jenkins has, how much time he has missed, how much practice he has missed. All of those things play into it to me. And so we'll kind of see what this team ends up doing with Tevin Jenkins as we go throughout the year. I don't expect anything to be done before the season starts. That would be nice to get it out of the way. But I think Ryan Poles really loves that wait-and-see approach. So let me know your thoughts. Would you re-sign Tevin Jenkins? Where do you think this offensive line is without him? I think you're in a lot of trouble without Tevin out there. I'm not going to lie. Love what Karan Amageji can be, but I don't know if we're there yet with Tevin Jenkins. He's your best offensive line. Let me know your thoughts in the comments below. This is a quick hitter because there's another episode dropping today, so stay tapped in with us on that. as well. It's your boy Pat the Designer back at it again. Me and Jason McKee coming up speaking with Henry Melton. Stay tuned in, stay tapped in. Appreciate you guys for showing love. Y'all stay safe out there in Chicago. Bear down. One love. Peace.